And today is June 14th, 1991. We're in New York City, and I'm talking to Ron Taylor, who used to play with the Mets. Let's play it back. Okay, Ron played during his career from 1962 through 1971 with the Cleveland Indians, the St. Louis Cardinals, the Houston Astros, and the New York Mets, and he's in town this year for the New York Mets Heroes of Baseball game. Ron, thanks for the time you're giving us. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I see you were born in Toronto, Canada, and would you like to tell us a little bit about your family, how you were raised, and how you were first exposed to baseball?
Well, I guess I was being raised in Toronto. Like, I played a lot of hockey as a kid. As it turned out, I was big and I was dumb and I could throw hard. So the local scout took me to Cleveland when I was 17, mm-hmm. and I worked out with the Indians and they signed me that day. And turned pro when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And my first year in the minor leagues, I won 18 games with Daytona Beach, Florida. And then I went back to school for 4 years in engineering,
mm-hmm.
playing baseball in the summertime. Graduated engineering in 61, then went to the Coast League and played there. And in 62, I went to Cleveland, and from there with the Cardinals and Houston Mets.
Okay, when you were an 18-year-old kid and you went away to play in the minors for one season, that was your first time away from home?
Yeah, it was.
Anything interesting there, or funny, or looking back, anything that you can recall that might be of interest?
Yeah, it's a lot hotter in Florida than in Canada.
Yeah.
I had to buy a whole new wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
Still have it.
Uh-huh. How about hanging around with the guys and all of that?
Well, nobody liked me.
Uh-huh. Want to tell us why you are that?
No, I was kind of shy, and I just pitched a lot. Like, I pitched 225 innings when I was 18 years old in the Florida State League.
Right.
And I find that what's really amazing is that I played for 16 years professional baseball, and I can name every lineup I played with. And every player I ever played with, and I went through engineering. I can probably name about 10 of my classmates out of 80.
Uh-huh.
I went through medicine out of 250 classmates. I can probably name about 30. So I think it says a lot about the bonding and friendships you make in baseball.
Right. Now, so you went back to college. You got your degree in engineering.
Yeah, I did that, and I played baseball professionally in the summertime. Didn't go to school for 12 years, and I didn't do a lot of studying in those 12 years.
You mean you
years.
Sort of dropped your engineering then?
I didn't drop it. I worked at it in the off season, but I really wasn't studying then.
Okay.
When I was washed up in 72, I went back and did a makeup year in which I had to get the same grades I had in engineering, mm-hmm. which I did.
Right.
And was admitted into medical school.
Mm-hmm.
When I walked in the first day of medical school, I thought I was there to do some maintenance work. Well, all the kids.
how old were you then?
How old was I then?
Yeah.
I was 35, but I was really a hard 35.
Right.
I looked a lot older than I was. But
most of the other guys were 21, 22.
Oh, they were 23, right. Pretty well. And so I had to compete with these guys. It was difficult.
Did they know who you were, your baseball career and all of that?
Yeah, there was, at the time I went back to school, it was kind of a joke going around the campus. And how do you get into medical school? Well, you get either straight A's or you're a washed up ball player. But luckily, I stood first in my class in engineering, so I was able to go back and I had straight A's and four tough makeup courses that enabled me to apply again.
Did you find your experience in baseball out in the world a plus, a minus, or irrelevant when you went back to medical school?
Well, I think it's definitely a plus because I think you had the advantage of having failed at things, to, you know, live through failures and come back and succeeded. You played under a lot of pressure. Learn how to, in most times, handle the pressure. And what I found is that you've gone through a career and you kind of live life in a microcosm. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a ball player,
right.
You make a lot of money when you're younger. And you're able to travel a lot, live pretty well. Mm-hmm. And when your career is over, you kind of experience... almost like a death, although nothing can compare with that.
Right.
But you've lost this career, so it is kind of like a microcosm of life. And what I find it helps me relate to my patients, you know, who mm-hmm. are going through the tough times. Psychologically, I can have more compassion for them, so it is helpful from that standpoint.
From a point of view of historical perspective, do you remember your first salary in the minor leagues?
Yeah.
And what you finished as your last salary?
My first salary was $175 a month.
That was in what year?
Yeah.
And what year was that?
1956,
okay.
I was in. And we got, it was $1.25 a day meal money.
Mm-hmm.
I can recall going into a restaurant in St. Petersburg. I was playing for Daytona Beach. I went and I bought breakfast. I left a quarter tip, and I went to pay the bill. I had to go back and get the tip to pay the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Then the major leagues, I made a lot of money. I think this was my biggest year. I made about $35,000 and another $15,000 through the series.
Right, right.
I think my problem was that I was really, I was born... 20 years too soon for baseball and 20 years too late for medicine. But, I'm really happy at what I'm doing. I like what I'm doing. I feel very fortunate after having many distractions throughout my career. I've got a very happy family now with two young children.
That's great. Going back, do you remember, I'm sure you remember the day that you were first told you were going to the major leagues?
Yeah, it was a spring training.
And what was that like? And then what was your first game like?
Well, it was good. Like, I had gone down to Cleveland and Tucson as an invited player. It was my first year in spring training since I was 18 years old. And I had pitched 23 scoreless innings for them that spring, and they signed me. And they started the second game of the season against Boston in Fenway Park. I pitched an 11-inning shutout, and Bill Mondbouquet was pitching against me. In the bottom of the 12th, Yaz led off with a triple.
Call your Sarsky.
Right. Yeah, and we walked the next two hitters. And then I pitched to Carl Hardy, hit a grand slam home run off me, so I lost 4-0. That was my first big league start.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who was your manager?
Mel McGahey.
Mm-hmm. Who were the other managers you had during your major league career?
Well, I had Mel McGahey, then I was over to St. Louis with Johnny Keene, Red Sheamus, Lewin Harris in Houston, then in New York, Wes Westrum, and Gil Hodges.
Okay.
And then I was out in San Diego briefly with Preston Gomez and Don Zimmer.
Okay, let's leave Gil Hodges for last. Any of these other managers, anything that sort of sticks in your mind about any of them, anything humorous or insightful or valuable that you think particularly stands out?
Well, I think the one I remember the most probably is Wes Westrum, because
mm-hmm.
he gave me a chance in 1967. Bing Devine was a general manager
mm-hmm.
with the Mets at that time. I had a back injury, and he was given the opportunity to talk to me by Houston. He called me up in spring training and said, "You want to play for New York?" I said, "Well, get me out of Houston because they don't have any plans for me."
Right.
So I drove across from Cocoa Beach to St. Petersburg, and Wes gave me the chance to make the team.
Okay.
And I pitched well for him, and I had 5 pretty good years in New York after that. So I got a very soft spot for Wes. And the other man who I think is probably one of the best managers I ever played for was a fellow called Ben Garrity. And a lot of people have played for him, including Henry Aaron, think he's the best manager I've ever played for.
And where did you play for him?
I was in Jacksonville, Florida, okay. Internationally.
And what makes you think so highly of him?
Just the moves he made and how he motivated the players.
The combination of tactical and interpersonal relationships. How about Gil Hodges?
Gil Hodges probably did one of the greatest managing jobs in the history of baseball in '69. Mm-hmm. What he did was that he took over a team where there was no real definition of anybody's job or responsibilities. He defined it. Mm-hmm. And he was able to tell players at the platoon that we all knew what our job was on the pitching staff. And he kind of brought order to all his talent that we had. And in 1968, the team lost about 21 games by 1 run. And in 1969, the players developed that much more, and Hodges made all the right moves that year, and we won it.
Any particular game or games that stands out in your memory, either which you were involved or which you weren't directly involved?
Well, I think probably the biggest thrill of my career was the playoffs in '69 when I was able to win a game and save a game. Mm-hmm. Although I had a good series in '64 with the Cardinals when I shut out the Yankees for 4 innings, we won that game 4-3,
right.
Which was a pivotal game. Mm-hmm. And then in the first game of the series, when Eichmann faced one hitter to save a game for Jerry Kuzman.
Jerry Kuzman, okay. Any particular players you were closest to? And any story that you'd like to, either on or off the field, that you think might be interesting for us?
There's not too many that I can tell. I think probably the one I remember most is when Hodges came out to me, and we were in the stretch, we were playing Atlanta, and he came out to me, and we had first base was open, and Henry Aaron was coming up, and the next hitter was Cepeda. And he said, I want you to put Aaron on. I said, no, I can get him out. He said, are you sure? And I said, yeah, I can get him out. And not that I was that cocky, I just had that feeling that day. And as it turned out, he hit a ground ball at second base. And I came back to the bench. He came and walked toward me. He said, you know, I said, I think you're crazier than I thought you were. He said, you're lucky you got him out. I can recall that day quite well.
If I had to ask you to name the 3 or 4 toughest hitters for you?
Well, I guess guys, the one hitter who gave me the most trouble was Clay Dalrymple. Hmm. I think Dalrymple hit about 600 off me. It was kind of an interesting story. In the '69 series, when I had come in the first game to save it, Brooks Robinson was hitting. I turned around to look at center field, and Earl Weaver had pulled Clay Dalrymple, who was their third string catcher, out of the bullpen to come up as the next hitter. And I thought, geez, I better get Brooks out, or I'll be in trouble, because I know that Dalrymple could just hit me very easily. Other hitters who hit me well, because there's a long list of them, but the ones that Willie McCovey was tough to get out of, Billy Williams, and being a right-handed sinker-slider pitcher, I had to have perfect control of left-handed hitters. I mean, I made a mistake, they would hit it.
And what was it with Clay Dalrymple? I mean, the other guys you mentioned, of course,
I don't know. I really don't know. I know that right now, that he walked in the room and hit a ball hard off me somewhere.
Yeah. I know there was a guy, Lou Babe Ruth, who gave Babe Ruth fits, and he never really gave anybody else any trouble. I guess it's one of those things.
Yeah.
As all the careers must end, as yours in baseball did, do you want to tell us how that happened?
Well, I had
a temporary interruption. I would think I was asking you how your baseball career wound down to an end.
Well, I was released by San Diego, and they wanted me to go out to Hawaii to pitch, and I kind of thought it was the end. There was no time to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, I went through kind of like a midlife crisis at that time, and I decided what I wanted to do was to go back into medicine.
Yeah, you had mentioned you were 30, about 35 at the time.
34.
Yeah. Was that a trauma to you, or did you see it coming, or?
No, it wasn't a trauma. I could see it coming.
Right. Okay. Would you like to bring us up to date about exactly what you're doing today?
Well, I live in Toronto and have two children, or 7 and 8, and a lovely wife. And I'm a practicing physician. I have a large general practice, and I run a trauma clinic at the Mount Sinai Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the physician for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm. How much time do you spend with the Blue Jays?
Well, I cover all home games.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't cover, I have to have somebody cover it for me. Yeah, so with the 81 dates a year, so I probably get down to 67 games.
As a physician, do you see the kinds of injuries you see? Are there any types that you think could be avoided with better care, et cetera? Or any general comments you care to make about physical conditioning of players?
Well, I think the two big things that have advanced in baseball are, first of all, is training programs are more scientific now,
mm-hmm.
where we can tell whether a player is in condition or not, with the strength of his different muscle groups, and you can take a player throughout a season. You find that his arm is dropping when he's throwing, or he's flattening out in this curveball. You can check the different muscle groups involved. You can say, look at you're weak here. You got to build up this particular muscle. And the other thing is that with the diagnostic procedures now, they're really great. And arthroscopy is good as a diagnostic procedure. Also, with MRI is quite good.
Mm-hmm.
It's non-invasive. You can see a lot of torn cartilage and ligaments,
mm-hmm.
and injuries of attrition. And once these are diagnosed, you can correct them with minimal trauma,
mm-hmm.
to the actual part. Whereas back when I was playing 20 or 30 years ago, the pitcher got a bad arm, he just threw his arm out, and that was it.
Right.
It was all over. But now you can do a lot. We have a guy Jimmy Key, one of our top pitchers, who's had probably what would have been 20 years ago, 2 career-ending injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And now this year he's having a great year.
Hmm. One final question. If you had to do it all over again, would you do anything different?
Yeah, a lot of things.
Mention one or two?
I can mention 10 or 12.
Yeah, okay.
But
one or two.
But what really counts is where you are and your happiness. So I feel like I'm happy and productive and I'm quite fortunate.
Great. Ron, I want to thank you once again for taking the time to talk to us today, and I hope you have a great time at the game tomorrow.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Right.